All right, well, once more, good afternoon, everyone. Go ahead and open your Bible to the book of John, chapter 10. It's there in your bulletin. It will be on your screen. Good testimonies today. I want to welcome back Grace, Joyce, Boreen, and Dio, as well as, I think that's everybody, right? Yeah. From the travels, my guys, I've seen them at church, or no, at school, so it's all okay. But, yeah, great testimonies. Tim, speaking of the Bible reading programs, if you go on Mitaki's homepage, there are the Bible reading plans available there. Just click through. I'm a person who reads the Bible every year, once through. But that's me. And it's not for everyone. That's okay. There's grace. Listen, reading the Bible, praying, coming to church, going to Bible study, fasting, meditating, it's not something you do from guilt. You should not feel bad that you don't do these things. You should feel wonderful that when you do them, they will be a benefit. Now, sometimes it's like exercise. No one likes exercise. People like sports and people like to play, but no one likes to go well, if you're crazy, you like to go jogging. But lifting weights, going on the bicycle, you know that will produce a good result. And that's why you do it. Yeah. So sometimes church, Bible, prayer, these things, it's like exercise. And you're not crazy if you like to do them. But it's a discipline. I want to preach on some of these things someday. Not today. Grace came back from Africa, and Joyce just gave me an omiyage from Africa. This is wonderful. Thank you so much. I gave up on fashion 20 years ago, and I don't care about being cool, but this is cool. So yeah, maybe I'll wear it now for just for yeah. But anyways, you have your Bible open to John chapter 10. Please, before we read, I want to give you an image, okay? So, take this image. You're in a countryside, and there's a village. And in the village, there's maybe 15 or 20 houses. It's not a large village. And somewhere in the village, there is a field. And around the field is a wall or a fence. It's not a big wall and not a thick or big fence. It's just big enough so that the animals cannot go in and out. They can't jump over the wall or the fence. And now imagine in that village of 15 to 20 houses, there are shepherds who have sheep. Maybe one shepherd has 20 sheep. Another shepherd has 30 or 40. Another shepherd has 50 or 60. But it's a small village. And at night, those shepherds, maybe there are 5 or 6 shepherds, they have their own flock or group of sheep. And after being out all day, they come back to the village with their sheep. But all of the sheep go into that one field. It's called a sheep pen. And so there's different flocks and different shepherds, but they all stay in the same pen for one night. And that pen has one entrance. It's called the gate. And so now it's the evening. There's five or six flocks of sheep from 20 to 60, maybe 100. And each shepherd is calling their sheep. Hey, come on, let's go. Hey, and he calls them by their name. The shepherd, maybe he has 50 sheep, but he knows each sheep by their name. He knows their appearance. He knows the size. He knows the scratches. He knows the strange colors. Every single sheep, he knows them because he's with them every day, all day, sometimes at night. And so all these sheep go into the one place at the same time with a different shepherd. They're from a different flock, but they go to the same pen. Does the image make sense? Now, before they go into the sheep pen, each shepherd is counting. And okay, this is Bobby, this is Taro, this is John John, and they go each one by name. He knows their names. And they all go inside. And then what happens? At night, the shepherds, they leave the sheep pen. They're going to go and, you know, sleep at their house or have some dinner or, you know, spend the night away from the sheep. So what do they do? There's one boy in the village. They hire him. Maybe he's like a junior high or a high school age. And he's there to open and close the gate. And he watches the sheep at night. He's not the shepherd. He just keeps the gate. Okay? Now, at night, what happens? Sometimes there's wolves and wild animals. But fortunately, there's the wall and the fence, so they can't get in. However, there are people from other villages, other towns, and they want a sheep. And they have to climb over the wall in order to get the sheep. And here's what Jesus says about those people. Okay? Now, he's talking to a group in this situation. Jesus is talking to a group who are the false shepherds. They are the fake teachers, the bad leaders. They're Pharisees, they're religious, they have a knowledge of the Bible and religion, but they don't know God. They're supposed to teach and lead and guide and care and shepherd God's people, but they don't do their job. So this is what Jesus says to them. We're going to read John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Please join me from verse 7. I'll read from verse 1 through 6. Please join me at verse 7. This is the words of Jesus. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Let's read together. Therefore, Jesus said again, Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The very words of Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, light of the world, fill our minds with your truth and our hearts with your love. So, I just want to get straight to the heart of this text. If you are reading this and listening to it, you read about Jesus saying that the sheep know his voice and that he is the gate. It says there, verse 3 and 4, the sheep listen to his voice, his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So the question is very simple when you read this. The question is, do you know his voice? And then the second thing that we read is, he's the gate in verses 9 and 10. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the gate, right? So the question is, will you enter through him? Two questions. Do you know his voice, and will you enter through him? He is saying that he is the shepherd, and that if you will follow him, you will be his sheep. So, how do you become his sheep? You have his voice. Do you know his voice? When he speaks, can you hear him talking? Well, Pastor Chris, how do I know it's his voice? Good question. You know, when I first got my iPhone, I was playing with it with my children because they have the Siri, you know, Siri. And so I said, okay, hey, kids, let's talk to Siri. Have you ever had a conversation with Siri? It's fun, right? Siri, where is the nearest ramen restaurant? Oh, there's ramen restaurants here. Yeah. And Siri, what's my name? Right? And she said, well, the registered name on this phone is da 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 da. You know, Siri, are you happy? She said, I cannot answer. She's an artificial intelligence, AI, right? So she has limits. Do you know there's a new AI? It's called ChatGTP. Please raise your hand if you know this. Yeah, okay, good. All right, Tamaki, be careful. Yeah, so ChatGTP is very popular for students because in this AI, you can say, please write an essay about, you know, Shakespeare in 1,000 words, you know. And so you write it, and it will write an essay. So there's lots of students now who can write essays because ChatGTP will say, it'll listen to your command, and ChatGTP, it doesn't only gather the information on the internet, it will synthesize and create your command. So I did it. I said to ChatGTP, please write a 5-minute sermon about John chapter 10, 1 through 10. The title is Jesus the Gate. And then I said, please make 10 PowerPoint slides from John chapter 10 about the gate. Wow. Yeah. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. Ah, amazing. Because it got all the information on the internet, all the sermons, all the blog posts, lots of books online that are free. It takes all the information And I said, limit, 5 minutes, 10 slides, boom, 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 3 points. Observation, interpretation, application. Amazing. Am I saying this sermon right now to you? Yeah, you don't know. Yeah. Okay, now, it's amazing, but also, it's terrible. It's terrible. It's AI. It's AI. And here's the reason why it's terrible. You are human beings, and we are made not for the internet. We are made for relationships, okay? And so you can listen to a sermon written by an AI, but it is not a human being speaking to you. It is not a being that's speaking to you with true intelligence, made in the image of God. But you know what? It's not just AI. A lot of us are getting a lot of our spiritual food from the internet. We watch YouTube videos. We listen to certain pastors or preachers or leaders on their YouTube channel. We download their sermons from their homepage. We listen to their podcasts about the Bible. Yeah, it's good. It's very good. Listen, I probably listen and watch and download much more than you. If you have one YouTube preacher that you watch, I have 10. No doubt. Yeah. If you subscribe to one podcast about the Bible, I have about 50. No joke. That's my hobby, okay? It's my passion. However, listen now. Whoever you're listening to, whoever you're downloading, whoever you're watching, they don't know you. They have no relationship to you at all. You can send them an email, but they don't see you. They're not in your life. And they may give wonderful teaching and advice and great sermons about the Bible and about life. But you are a human being made for relationships, not internet. So the best person for you to speak to hear the voice of God, is the person who God puts next to you, in front of you, in person, face to face. I'm not against internet and downloads and podcasts and blogs. I'm 100% for them. But you will have very difficulty listening to the voice of your shepherd if you are not in a community of people that you will meet face to face at least once a week. That's how God made you. In rhythm, 7 days, 7 days, 7 days, once a week, to be in relationship with each other. Because listen, I want to be careful because I usually don't say these things. There are false teachers out there. There are teachers who will do like this. They'll say, this is how you are Christian. God loves you. He made you, he's going to bless you, he gives you abundance, he gives you the head and not the tail, he'll bless you and keep you, and you are highly favored. Life is adventurous and full and joyful, and you'll have peace that surpasses all understanding, you'll have success on success and great progress in your life. They don't say anything about repentance. Nothing about holiness, nothing about discipline. It's just the blessing is waiting for you. Just give me, you know, $50 or give me 5 mon or buy my books and show that you trust God, and here comes your healing. Here comes your blessing. Here comes your prosperity. That's one kind of false teacher. You need to be careful. And I'll tell the reason why in just a minute. But there's another kind of false teacher They don't talk about prosperity, but all they do is talk about holiness. You want to follow God? You want to know God? Then you have to come to church on Sunday, morning and afternoon. You have to go to Bible study on Wednesday. You have to go to special service on Friday. You have to be in the choir on Tuesday. You have to be in a special accountability group on every day of the week. You have to read your Bible for 1 hour every day. And after you read, you have to pray 2 hours. Once in the morning, once in the... And it's work, work, work. Duty, duty, duty. Obligation, obligation. No joy. Right? No balance. False teacher. So let's go back. Then how do you know it's Jesus speaking? The sheep know his voice. So here's an experiment. Imagine I call you on your phone. And you pick up and you say, oh, hey, Pastor Chris. Pretty good. Listen. There's someone here next to me. They say they know you. And you say, oh, who's that? And he says, I don't know. They don't tell me his name, but they say they'll know you. So here, talk to him. And I give that person the phone. And they come, and they don't say their name to you. They just say, hey, it's me. You have two responses, right? If you know that person, you don't hear their name, you don't see their face, you only hear their voice. But because maybe it's someone you love, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's someone who has given so much to you, it's so important to your life. They don't say their name, you don't see their face, they just say, hey, it's me. You say, oh, hey! Grandma, you know, whoever they are. Because you know their voice. You have a relationship with them. Not internet, not podcast, not blog. You have known each other since you were small. You have a long history, right? Or, I say, okay, here they are. Here's the phone. I give them the phone and they say, hey, it's me. You don't know who it is. What do you say? Let me talk to Pastor Chris. Right? And you give it back. I don't know you. I've never met you. You don't have to say your name. You don't have to show my face. I don't know you. Because you know by the voice. When you become a Christian, for those of you who are Christians, remember, think back. When you first met Jesus, you know, have you ever met someone for the first time and you're having a conversation and you feel like, have I met you before? I feel like we know each other. Did we go to the same school? Did we go to the same place together? This is our first time because the way we're talking to each other, we're connecting more than just the surface level. I feel like I've known, maybe in a past life, I don't know. But I feel like I've known you, and I feel like you know me. Have you ever had this experience? Okay? When you meet Jesus Christ, you hear his voice. It's not the voice of a stranger. You listen to his words, you read his teachings, or you see what people are saying to you, or what he is saying to you through others. You say, I've been waiting for this voice. There's been so many other voices, but that voice, what the way he's talking or what he's saying, I've been waiting for that. He knows me. He's speaking to a group of people, but I feel like he's looking right at me. That's the voice, right? Am I the only one that's ever happened to? Right? You know. When you hear a preacher, when you read a book, or you listen to a podcast, and you say, yes, that's exactly what I've been waiting to hear. It's not something I've wanted to hear. It's not something I feel like it's, you know, but I just know that's the voice of the shepherd who is caring and watching over me. Why? Because the sheep know his voice. If you have that, you have something very special. You have the gospel. You have the Son of God speaking right. Because not everybody has that. You see in verse 1, he's talking to the Pharisees. In verse 6, the Pharisees, what did they say? What is he talking about? Because there's many people who hear the voice of God, but they don't know who it is. Because the sheep know his voice. So the question is, do you know his voice? Do you have that experience? Yeah, that's God. That's the Son of God. Let's talk about these false teachers. So I want you to go back. Go back to the village. Let's go back to the sheep pen with the shepherds. And it's nighttime. It's nighttime, and the gatekeeper, he's there, right? And there's a thief that wants the sheep, the robber. Now, here's what they will do. They'll climb over the wall, and they'll call the sheep. They'll try to imitate the shepherd's voice. They'll give the call. But the sheep know the voice of their shepherd. So the sheep, they'll run away. So the thief, in order to catch the sheep, he has to kill them. So this is what happens in those villages. This is what I've studied in my research. They'll kill the sheep. They'll throw them over the wall. And they'll take them. And what do? They eat the meat. And they take the wool. Right? They kill. They steal. And they destroy. That's what the thief does. And so, you know, be careful who you're listening to. Be careful who you download. They seem like they want you to have abundant, blessed, full, and rich life. But be careful who you give your money to. Be careful who you give your time to. They don't know you. They don't love you. But let's switch it here. Kill, steal, kill, and destroy. So Pastor Hiroshi, in the Japanese service, he's doing an amazing sermon series this year. It's about, what do you call it? Mental health, seishinbyo, right? And he's talking about depression, soutsubyo, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia. He's talking about all kinds of mental, emotional, psychological disease and disorder. All of it. Why? Why? Because in Japan, we're living in a time of great disorder, darkness. Our lives are being stolen, destroyed, and killed. We have everything. We have tablets, we have screens, we have abundant food, we have fashion, we have clothes, we have entertainment, we have all kinds of money. We could send it to our families overseas. We have extra cash, but our lives are empty, meaningless, tired, fatigued, we're depressed, we're lonely, we're sad. The thief is coming in to kill, steal, and destroy. And so Pastor Hiroshi, a loving pastor, servant, a shepherd, he's saying, let's talk about it. Let's see what Jesus says about it. Let's see what the Bible says. Because I want our people, the church should be a place like a sheep pen, where people can come in and come out. People can find pasture. And people can find healing and wholeness. So, I love it. I love it, love it, love it. So that last verse, verse 10, right? I've come so that you will have life and have it life to the full. But before that, in verse 9, look at those verbs. When you are the sheep of Jesus, you can come in and go out. You find pasture, right? What does it mean? Come in. That means when the sheep go in to the place, yeah, they're there to rest. They're there to sleep. And there's no wolves coming to eat them. That's what Jesus is. He's our security and our rest. And then he says, you can go out. Why? Because you don't stay in the pen all day. You need to go out and eat. And so you have freedom to go out, come in. Some of us, we're slaves. We have no freedom. We're controlled by the impulse, the addiction, the internet, TikTok, blah, 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 blah. Social media, and we can't control ourselves with food, drinking, whatever it is. But Jesus says, no, you can, with me, you can come in, come out, you have freedom. I'm here to save you from sin. And then you can find pasture when you go out. What is pasture? You have hunger. And you can eat until you're satisfied. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And there's plenty of space. You're not constricted. And then he says, you'll have life to the full. Now that word, the life to the full, it's connected to the Old Testament, where God says, I will bless you, whether you go out, whether you come in, if you're in the field or you're in the city, you will have abundance, life overflowing. And here it is, ready? You'll have more than you expect. You expect 10 people, there'll be 100. You expect a few, there'll be many. It's more, it's abundant. You expect 7 hours of sleep, you'll have 10, right? You expect 2 children, you have 6. Yeah. Life to the full. Now please, I want to say it again. You want 1 suit, you have 5 suits. No. Life is not fashion or devices. It's not possessions. Right? It's relationships. You'll have fullness relationships. Forgiveness and freedom. You'll have purpose in life. You'll wake up in the morning and say, yeah, let's go. That's what he's saying. I came for you. Okay, now we'll close it. Because some of you are looking at me and you're going, oh, that sounds good, Pastor Chris, but there's a lot of lack in my life. Talking about freedom and space and purpose and abundance. And Pastor Chris, I have bills. I have, I'm alone. I'm waiting. It's dark. Okay. What about that? I've followed the voice. I thought it was God, and here I am. I'm hurting. I'm sad. Right? I'm cold, I'm naked, I'm blind. Listen, I have only one word of comfort for you. If you're following the shepherd, it's better to be in the valley of darkness with the shepherd than it is to be on the mountaintop without him. Okay? You could have everything in the world. What good is it for you to have everything in the world but to lose your soul? And so some of you, you're going to walk through valleys. And listen, you're not alone. Listen, the first Christians, that first generation of Christians, they followed the shepherd. You know what happened to them? Their families were taken from them. Their property and their homes were taken from them. Some of them were crucified. Some of them were sewn and killed in half. Some of them were taken to the Colosseum to be eaten by lions. Is that abundant and full life? Is that pasture? No. But they followed the voice of their shepherd. They went in through the gate, and they followed him all the way through. You know where they are now? They are with the shepherd. They are with him forever and ever. And the Bible promises that little suffering you had for 1 year, 10 years, 5 years, 15 years, that's nothing compared to the glory of all eternity. Follow your shepherd. Follow him through the valley. Follow him into the darkness. Follow him. He will lead you out. He will take you up. And here's what you're going to learn. Just as Cindy beautifully said in her testimony, it's not the health and it's not the wealth. It's the relationship. Your abundant life is not in the things, it's in him. What are you finding right now in your darkness? What are you finding right now in your loneliness? All I have is Jesus. That's all I have. Yeah, let him take everything away. And when you have only him, that's when you'll know you have abundant life. So, I want to invite you, okay? Here it is. Here's the table. Here's the drink. Here's his blood. Here's the bread. Here's his body. And he says, if you'll take me into your body, take my blood, take my flesh, you have entered the gate. Now, some of you, if you're not a Christian yet, but you want to become Christian, you want to become baptized, and you will follow Jesus, your shepherd, please come. Come to the table and take it. All right? You're, that's the invitation. If not, it's okay. Just wait. We'll be finished shortly. Here's what we'll do. I'm going to open the plates and the cups. We're going to sing. While we're singing, I'll hand you the piece of the bread, and you'll take the cup. Feel free, if you feel necessary, to do some shodoku. What is it? What's the shodoku? Disinfectant. Thank you, Tim. Disinfectant, please. It's there for you, okay? So.